A quick hello and we're good to go. Welcome to the show, Trisha Dow.
Thank you.
And we're going to talk about hybrid workplaces and intentional cultures. And this is a slightly unusual episode because we're talking about being an employer and your relationship with your employees and also your branding towards your employees, which is something we just discussed off screen, which I'm hugely interested in. And the fact that as a company, we do need to consider the culture of the company, being intentional about it with our employees, the idea of a hybrid workspace. But for me, I'm super interested in my employee-facing brand. But before we get into that, we're going to quickly look at your brand SERP. That's part of the whole thing of this show. And your brand SERP is, I imagine that's you with the squires in the middle, empowered. That's your company. That's a good brand SERP. I love to see knowledge panels on the right-hand side. The knowledge panel is the information box of the facts that Google has understood about you. And the fact that it's not there implies that Google has understood who you are, but it doesn't understand very well and isn't confident in that understanding. And that understanding is the future of your ability to control your brand, personal brand narrative in the AI machines that Google, Bing, Microsoft, Perplexity, ChatGPT are bringing out. And the other thing is this analysis, which is an AI analysis, an NLP, natural language processing analysis, where we can see here from an analysis of your description of yourself from your own website, it can guess who you are, but it doesn't know who you are. When it knows who you are, that link turns up blue. Your name would turn up blue. And it's found the 8 mentions of you, and it can guess who you are. And the text is incredibly clear because it's 62% sure that it has guessed correctly that Trisha Dow is a person and is interested in clients' value, partner, and empowered, which is your company, which it's also guessed but doesn't know. So that's my geeky introduction. And now we're going to talk about people instead of machines, which is absolutely delightful. You are listening to Branded Search and Beyond with Jason Barnard. Now, back to the show. So to start with, can we start with what exactly are we talking about?
We are talking about culture. So culture is a very nebulous term for a lot of people. But you have a very defined culture, whether you made it to be intentionally that way or not. And the cultures that are being created in hybrid workplaces now are just a little bit more complicated than they used to be, especially as they ultimately will translate to an employer brand.
Right. So you've covered pretty much all the points that we're looking at. One thing I have to ask is, what is a hybrid workplace?
Okay. A hybrid workplace is where a company, well, if you remember back that far, there was this giant thing called the pandemic, and we all went home for a long time and figured out how to live our lives and have careers from home. It turns out that most people, in almost all the countries that I've studied so far, the people still want to have some hybrid workplace. Mm-hmm. So they don't want to come back full time to the office. There's a lot of people that don't, especially leadership, that doesn't want to just be completely remote. So A lot of employers have found a great opportunity, especially if they're constrained for talent. So they're having a long, hard time finding talent, like many of the industries that I typically work in, to start looking remote for employees, employees that can be anywhere, and kind of cobble together a hybrid workplace that tries to sustain a really intentional, vibrant culture when people are not together all the time.
Right. So we're now looking at some people work at the office all the time. Some people work partly at the office and partly from home. And some people work completely from home. And the completely from home part is growing. And that means outsourcing. And at CaliCube, for example, we now work, the vast majority of the team is now in the Philippines. It's entirely remote. And my life story has been remote working since the very beginning. So I actually don't know what working in office is like. So I'm one of the few people who've never even tried it. what I wanted to look at there is I can build a remote team and I think I've built a good culture. I haven't done it intentionally. So the couple of questions is, how do you build a culture to mix or to bring together those three groups of people in a way that they all feel part of the company? And we'll start with that question, because otherwise we're going to get confused.
Yeah, we could actually do an entire semester on just that question alone. But what I will say is, the complicated part is that everyone needs something different from us as leaders and as an employer. So it's a combination of making sure that you have people having the same access to this, to resources, but knowing that all of that is going to look different depending on what the person needs. So for example, there will be people remote that need you to give them more guidance. And there'll be people that can just run with it without having a lot of guidance, or don't need to check in with you, or don't need status updates, or whatever. People work very differently depending on who they are and how they work.
Just one really quick question there. Can I just not say I only want people on my team who are completely comfortable working autonomously, where I don't actually have to do anything to manage them?
That would be very difficult to effectuate. We'd all love that. I'm the same way. I'm a very laissez-faire leader. I'm here if you need me, absolutely. But I want you to run if you can run. That doesn't work for everybody.
No.
So, And frankly, your mettle as a leader will be better if you have a combination of people. And your results will be better if you have a combination of people.
Okay. So a culture that allows the people who are naturally autonomous to work autonomously and move forwards and run, as you say, because they can run, but also supports the people who need the structure and need to be guided or given tasks or given a structure and targets.
Or feedback, you know.
Very good point. I forgot that one. How do you do that? How do you bring the two together? I don't see any possible way to do that.
To do what exactly?
To make both sets of people feel comfortable.
Well, people do it every day. The whole point of great cultures is that you understand each person and you can fit them into the puzzle of your company where everyone is thriving and successful. That's the goal. So when people have been intentional, that's what they're doing. They're figuring out, okay, what do we stand for as a company? What does that, how does that translate into how we treat our people and how our people treat each other? What do we want for our people and for ourselves and how do those align together? And then how do we make that happen for each person individually based on their differences?
Right. So I'm, as the leader, the CEO, trying to build a puzzle of leaders who fit together as a puzzle and who can understand that underneath them there is a puzzle to be built. I can't see how I can define that other than saying, do your best.
Okay. So actually, I think one of the things that we use most is the concept that we've called, and by the way, other people who have written books call it something else, but in our firm, we call it values-based behaviors. So we create values around what you intend for your culture and your firm, whether that is, I think of brand as outside reflection of your firm and culture as inside reflection of your firm. Okay. They're just two sides of the same coin. So if you create values that manifest in what you're going to go out and find for talent, what you're going to abide by as far as performance management and accountability, and what you're going to put forward as a brand to your clients and how you function with your clients, your customers, then it's you've threaded the values through the entire organization and made them real and accountable every day. That's how you get intentional culture.
Right. And you just said that the culture of the company is one side and it's internal and the brand is external and the brand is client facing. But part of the brand is employee or potential employee, employee facing, which means that the internal culture needs to be externalized as the...
Correct. Exactly. They should be two sides of the same coin. The culture should be authentically created, obviously, but authentically communicated outside so that you draw the right people in, both clients and employees.
Right. So the two aren't going to be completely different and they naturally need to match.
Correct.
And from that perspective, is the company culture something that I define as the company owner, or do I ask everybody to vote or ask everybody to participate in a group discussion where everybody figures out exactly what the culture is?
So I actually think you should do both. So here's what we do. We bring everyone together and get their feedback on what they most see in your company. Because honestly, sometimes we're just ratifying what you already have as your goal, as your vision and your values, and making sure that we codify them. So we get everyone together. We talk about what those values are or what we should aspire to as a company and as people working together on a team. And then we codify them and make that part of it. But you decide ultimately as the leader or the leader group what you want those to be and how you're going to hold people accountable to that.
Right. I mean, we actually had this meeting maybe 10 months ago, and Mary Ann interviewed everybody on the team to figure out what everybody saw, and then came back to me with the overall view. And it was very much looking for autonomy, being kind, being inclusive, being diverse, family friendly was a huge one. Mm-hmm. And being adventurous, being courageous, being fun, and looking to the future and saying, well, we know what's coming and we have to be strong and believe that people will understand what we see today at some point in the future. And that actually really delightfully resonates with exactly how I see.
That's great. So, that means you're doing, even though you might not have been intentional, you ended up there. So congratulations.
No, well, that's what I was thinking is, we've ended up with, I think, a very solid team and a common view without being intentional about it. But isn't it true that if I, as the CEO, employ people and they stick around for a certain amount of time, that necessarily there's an agreement between us about the culture? Otherwise, they wouldn't stay.
Well, it depends on if they have options or not.
Very good point. Yes, sorry.
If it's a tight market, if you know they need the job for whatever reason, if you have a, like, look, I just became an immigrant. I just moved to France from Chicago.
Right. I was going to say welcome because I live in France, but I'm actually in Slovenia at the moment. So welcome, but from a distance.
Thank you. Bienvenue, right? It's so important to create an atmosphere where people feel valued. So, you know, codifying that in a way that is easy to understand is really, really important.
Right. Oh, and that's kind of interesting because, 3 years ago, I was on my own. It was just me and the company. And we have a campaign going on with CaliCube. It's not just Jason. And trying to get the outside world to look at CaliCube as not just my pet project, but a team of 20 people all working together who happen to be or share my values and my ambition and my delight at what we're actually doing. And communicating on that is hugely important. Today is International Women's Day, the day we're recording this. And the team have released the female members of the team have each made a statement about how they feel empowered at CaliCube. And it was absolutely delightful to see. And the common thread is ambitious in what we're trying to achieve, family friendly. And you were saying, my contribution is appreciated, listened to and implemented, and I'm appreciated. And I would imagine, number one, that would be the goal of every company, but I get the feeling it isn't.
No.
And number two, that it's natural. I mean, shouldn't it be like that as the boss of a company? You're looking for people to come in who will contribute and bring something additional that you can't do yourself.
Of course. But many firms do not work that way. Now, you're a smaller firm still.
Yes, very small.
And so your interaction is still directly affecting the people around you. When you get some layers of leadership in there, where what happens, what's said are the values at the top might not trickle all the way down to the employees. They're having a different experience because your middle management layer, for example, has their own agendas. Then you start to get a disparity between what the firm is saying their values are and what their culture represents and what is actually happening to the people. So that's why we always start with do you understand what you have as a culture right now? Do you really get what your culture right. is? How do you read it?
And how do you define it? Is it a bullet list? Is it a mission statement of fluffy clouds and rainbows mm-hmm. and unicorns?
I actually don't like things that are not actionable. So anything that we do would translate from value to values-based behaviors to actually codifying it in performance management and key performance indicators. So for example, you mentioned that in your exercise 10 months ago, you said that your intention for your culture and your firm is for it to be inclusive. Hmm. Okay. Now what?
Right. Yeah, no, 100%.
How do you define inclusive for you? What are the indicators that you've succeeded at inclusion? And how does it translate to actual activities that your people have to do or a way of showing up that indicates that you have inclusion going on? So it there's much deeper to go there.
Ooh, 100%. And the answer is none. So it's a statement of intent, but not actually anything that anybody's right. doing intentionally, which is the intentional.
And that's why people, you go into big companies and they have these beautiful displays in their big conference rooms that say, these are our core values. But that's all they have is a pretty poster board. You don't have any idea how that translates to anything.
Right. And I was saying to you before, Maria chooses the guests for the show, and somewhere along the show, I really understand why she's invited somebody, and it's the 16-minute mark, and I've really understood why she's invited you, because I've been going along quite happily, as you say, in this small organization, 20 people, we're doing pretty well, it's organized, we've got this definition of inclusive, diverse, courageous, mutually supportive, caring, family-friendly, fun, and smart. Those are the words that come to the top of my mind when I'm thinking mm-hmm. about company culture at CaliCube. And we haven't done anything to action it, to set any KPIs or to help anybody to actually understand what that means in practical terms. And as long as we don't do that, we have no possibility of scaling, because the filter down, the trickle down will never happen. What can I do now at 20 people to be in a similar position mm-hmm. of being terribly happy with myself because the company is such a lovely place to work when we have 50, 60, 70 people?
Yeah. So I guess start from the very beginning. Given that these are what we say our values are, how do we define what criteria we have for candidates that come into our company? So how does that look when we go out to look for someone? Because you probably want smart people in the subject matter area that you're looking for, have demonstrated that they're pretty good, that have been successful in whatever that is. But there's so much more about you at CaliCube and what makes you great at what you do that needs to translate to how we know this person coming in has the attributes that fit into our culture and what we say our values are. So how do you develop the criteria? How do you onboard those people in a way that exposes them to why certain skill sets are important for them to have and how you treat each other and how you develop this intentional culture? And then how do we on the back end hold ourselves accountable to it, especially our leaders, and how we measure what they're doing and how and what the results of that those actions are? So it's
what
like
kind
a
of KPIs. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, what kind of KPIs are we looking at? Because, I mean, you're saying KPIs, and I'm just going, but people are nice to everybody.
Okay, so I'm talking very brass tacks things, because in my opinion, it's International Women's Day, right?
Yeah.
I'm a partner in a gigantic global firm for the first half of my career. And when I made partner in 2006, it was 11% female partners. It is only at like 15 or 16% now. So we're not holding people accountable to the results of the actions they're doing. So let's actually have performance measures. Let's say if you have a rating scale for people, you know, needs improvement, meets our requirements, our stringent criteria is often exceeding that criteria or always succeeding that criteria. let's do that. And if your leaders, if you have leaders that have a bunch of twos or threes, and then you have leaders that are keeping their fours and fives, then you've got an understanding of what that is, but no one does that equation most of the time. We just kind of put it out there and hope for the best.
Yeah, no, but what's really interesting is we set up an HR department 9 months ago after we set the values, and we now have a system of rating every 6 months of people by the person above them. So the team members by the team leader, and then the right to reply from the team member with a scoring system, which is aimed at defining what pay rises are allocated. Mm-hmm. But we could also use it as a performance in terms of, we could add to that, how are you being inclusive? How are you being courageous? Right. How are you being ambitious? Right. How are you being fun?
Right.
I mean, fun is really difficult to define, but that would be a lovely approach that I can see working. And then you know, we're talking about the diversity aspect, and you're saying, mm-hmm. what was it, 20% women in the...
It's now 16% female partners, I think, in global firms like mine. Mine was, right. And 11% when I made partner,
which is terrible. And I was talking to Sarah Mokanse, who helps out at Calliq from time to time as a kind of bouncing board for genius ideas about the future of SEO and the future of generative AI. And she pointed out to me that 80% of the people at Calliq are women, and I hadn't even noticed, or not, it's not that I hadn't noticed, obviously you do notice, but it wasn't intentional, it happened that particular way. And that the leadership team of four people are all women as well.
Uh-huh.
And once again, I said to them, that wasn't intentional, I didn't mean for that to happen. And I think it's the culture that I believe in and the culture that I installed that made it happen. And now it seems to be self-replicating in the sense that that percentage of 80% doesn't seem to be changing. I don't know if that's good, if it's bad, I mean, for the moment, it's working incredibly well. But what I get the feeling is once you've installed a culture and that whatever ratio it might be between different groups of people, it will tend to stick and very difficult to change.
Yes. And the places that I'm going into most of the time and my team is working with are typically the opposite of that. They're typically, because I work with professional services firms most of the time. So you go in and let's just take law firms. Yeah. So an equal number of women and men are graduating from law schools. They go into firms. At that point, it's about 50-50. 6 or 7 or 8 years in, half the women are gone. And then as they get up to partner, half the women are of that, what was left is gone. And then when they get into like managing partners and like leadership, top brass leadership, way less, I mean, it's minuscule. 2 women, 3 women, you know, kind of, that's when tokenism happens. But so the issue around women, especially, is we bring them in, but we can't, they're having a hard time getting all the way up. In some industries, there's not enough diversity, like other kinds of diversity. We don't have people from other countries of origin, or we don't have different races, or we don't have different creeds, or we don't have whatever it is, sexual orientations, whatever it is. And we're not a place that would be comfortable for those kinds of people. So that's why we do include, that's why we do this work.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, from our perspective, the team is very much, you know, 95% in the Philippines.
Yeah.
So the diversity in terms of cultures is very, very small. But then from my perspective as the CEO, I'm saying, well, the reason for that is that it's much easier to build a team of people who share a similar culture.
Right.
So I would like to say, well, let's broaden it out. But then I also know it's going to create huge complications for the company, and that perhaps just saying, well, this is a Philippines company in everything but name, is the right way to go.
That's up to you. If you've really done the work already with the value system, then it should be, let's put it this way. Let's say that you're in a culture, I don't know that much about the culture of the Philippines.
No.
But let's say that you're in a culture where there's still a big disparity about what women are expected to do with their lives and what men are expected to do with their lives.
Yeah.
If you're going to create an inclusive work environment, you're going to have to go against what the geographic culture is and say, this is the way we're going to do things here because this is what is important to us as a firm. And right. there's a lot of that going on all over the world. There's a million different topics, but it's universal that people are going to have to figure out how to work together when the culture being set by the company differs from the geographic culture that you're in. Or let's say you're in a global company where you've got different cultures all over the place, but we need your common culture here. You still need what you've done with values, for example, to make that happen effectively.
Absolutely. Brilliant. And sorry, there are two more kind of major topics that I wanted to touch mm-hmm. on. Number one is you were talking about different people to make up a puzzle. How do you actually go about that? Because if you're saying everybody has to have this culture, so we need to fit together as a culture, and yet everybody has to be different in order to build this puzzle so mm-hmm. that we have a complete jigsaw puzzle made or something like that. It's a very bad a description of a very simple analogy. How does that work? You're telling me I need people who are all the same in terms of culture, but they all need to be different in terms of building my puzzle.
That's exactly right.
All right, okay.
So they have to have the same value systems. Mm-hmm. I have a longtime colleague that has a shared services, IT services company, and it's grown very fast and very big, very quickly. The owner of it is a woman, and she developed her values-based approach a long time ago. She will not mm-hmm. hire people that are brilliant, successful, whatever it is, unless they meet the values of the firm that they're coming into. And she has had enormous success with how quickly they onboard, how successful they are as performers in the firm, and how much they stick around. So there's a lot of power in once you've harnessed what your culture really is and you communicate it well to everybody, everything starts to work a lot better and you have to hold people accountable to it to make it sustain it.
Brilliant. That's a really great description that, I mean, Marianne Modrick and Katrina are going to latch on to, because that for me really makes sense. And I can relate to that. And differentiating company culture and values, as you said, to how you function as a human being day to day to do your job.
Yes.
That differentiation is where I was confused about the puzzle.
Right. Now, where firms often fall down is they say we honor and appreciate everyone's contributions, no matter how different they are. Mm-hmm. But when they really reward people, for example, or what really happens is not true. So, for example, if I am a rainmaker, then I get way bigger increases than someone who's just a brilliant technician, even though the brilliant technician is doing all the work I bring in. mm-hmm. And there's a disparity in how that person, those people are valued in a company, then you've got issues. You've got to figure that out.
Right. And then, I mean, for example, somebody who is doing the content for the marketing is going to tend to be undervalued.
Mm-hmm.
But the person who's selling is going to be overvalued, and the person who's doing the actual production tends to be undervalued.
We're going to forgive a lot of sins for the rainmaker because they're bringing in the money and all those things. It gets really complicated.
Yeah, but sorry, what I see there is you need to judge people in terms of the rewards, the financial rewards they get according to the role they're playing, within the role they're playing. So you need to segment.
Yes.
The different sections of the company so that you don't over-reward the people who
Correct.
Appear to be the most important, who are the ones who are selling. But in fact, the production people, if they don't perform, the selling makes absolutely no sense and you're going to fall apart anyway.
Right. Yes.
Okay, brilliant. Absolutely wonderful. I've actually forgotten the last point I was trying to make, which I will regret as soon as this show is over. But that was brilliant. Thank you so much. I now know why Maria invited you, and I think this is going to hugely help us, and I hope it helped the audience too. But now we have the last question every single time on Branded Search and Beyond with Jason Barnard. How does teamwork and culture help with Branded Search? Please go ahead, Tricia.
So it helps with Branded Search enormously because it helps you stand out as an employer brand and a preferred employer in the industry that you're in. So if you don't define your culture well, and I can tell you, the statistics would show that people go to firms because of culture, more important than money and other things, and they stick around because of culture. Like 80% of the reason people stay is culture. It's not because, or the leadership they have. It's not what they're being paid. It's not where they sit for an office, whatever it is. So most companies have not done a very good job of employer branding and branded search around finding candidates that match the culture they're trying to effectuate in their company. And that's why culture and teaming should be really well communicated to the market so that you people get exactly what they want.
Brilliant. That's possibly the most important snippet, knowledge nugget that we've had this year, because you've just brought something completely new to our branded search approach at CaliCube, something we weren't working on, we weren't thinking about, and we will now integrate that into the CaliCube process. Talking to Alisa and Leanne here, this is huge. Thank you so much, Tricia. You've just brought a huge, 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 huge brick to the CaliCube process edifice. Thank you, everyone, for watching. I hope that was hugely useful for you, as it was for me. And we're going to introduce next week, which is John Muskin, who will be talking about your survival guide to the ad targeting apocalypse. He's absolutely brilliant, and he does mean apocalypse when he says apocalypse. So do join us. Please, could you possibly pass the baton, Tricia?
Yes, I'd like to pass the baton over to Josh Muskin. I'm excited for how that conversation between Josh and Jason will go. I'm sure it's going to be amazing, and it sounds like an emergency, so go have it.
It sounds like an emergency. Absolutely brilliant. Thank you so much, Tricia. Thank you, everybody, for watching. You get the outro song, a quick goodbye to end the show. Thank you, Tricia.
You're welcome.
CaliCube. It's all about your brand SERP.